Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. Lord, may we meditate on your word now. Would you please send the Holy Spirit to help us do this, to learn and to grow in faithfulness to the faithful one, the living Lord Jesus. Amen. We are continuing our series on the Old Testament book of Job today, week two, as we journey through Lent, and we're calling the series Sovereign Suffering. Sovereign Suffering. You'll find the passage I'll be looking at begins on page 718 in your church Bible, 718. It would help you if you followed along. If not, that's fine, but if you'd like to follow along, that would probably help. The title, Sovereign Suffering, captures some things, I think, some important things. Captures the reality of suffering. It's a living reality in all our lives. As we think about the reality of suffering, we do it knowing that God is in it. God's power and God's presence are very much at play. He's with us in the suffering. He's not above it. He's not away from it. He's in it. We know from Job and from daily living as Christians that he doesn't always protect us from suffering. We have to know that. But he's still in it. He's still in it. When you go through suffering, he's there. In the book of Job, there are two kinds of suffering on display. One kind brings glory to God. That's the obedient kind. The other kind wants to blame God and it wants to curse God. Both things have different outlooks and different outcomes. They're both pointed in a certain direction. Again, one is away from God and one is towards God in the suffering. Job's response is the best way. He wasn't perfect in his suffering. Nobody is. He suffered, but he did it obediently. And that really is the main message of the book of Job. The main message is this: obedient suffering brings glory to God. Obedient suffering brings glory to God. The message is that God uses your suffering to shape and refine you. Through your obedience, he grows you, and he uses you to witness to the world that he's real, he has real power, and he helps his people in the worst circumstances. Obedient suffering brings glory to God. That's the main theme of Job. If you agree with that, you might be thinking, how does that all work? What does that look like? What does that look like in my daily life as I follow the Lord Jesus with a real issue? How can I do that? Let's look at two tangible and practical ways to do that from the passage in Job. The first point is this. The first way is this. Obedient suffering shares the suffering of other people. Obedient suffering shares the suffering of others. We notice Job's three friends in chapter 2, beginning at verse 11. And listen to their first response. It says, they set out from their homes and met together by agreement to go and sympathize with Job and comfort him. That's a beautiful picture. Friendship, dropping everything, going to be with a friend who's mired in a terrible situation. They went to comfort him. They weren't really sure what they were going to do when they got there, but they went to be with him. Now listen to verse number 12 as they arrive in Job's neighborhood. When they saw him from a distance, they could hardly recognize him. That's because he was so disfigured with boils. They began to weep aloud. They tore their robes and sprinkled dust on their heads. Then they sat on the ground with him for 7 days and seven nights. We know later, and next week we'll get into this, that Job's three friends got it wrong later on in their interaction. They said some careless things and some wrong things, but as they started out here, they started out very strongly. This is called the ministry of presence. The ministry of presence. I read in a book a while ago about a minister who was going to hospital to visit a sick member of his church. He showed up, and the guy in the bed, his name was Harold, so he said, Harold, you have the easiest job in the world. All you have to do is show up. Just show up. And that's right. When someone's suffering, you show up. You drop what you're doing and you go to be with them. by doing that, it speaks volumes about how you care for the person and the fact that they're not alone. You have compassion for them. That's what we see in Job's friends. They get it right at first. They drop everything, they go to be with him, and they support their friend in silent prayer. And then the friends do one more thing that really shows their willingness to go deep into this suffering. In verse number 12, it says, they tore their robes, they sprinkled dust on their heads, then they sat on the ground with him. That's how Jewish people showed grief and mourning. They would tear their robes, they would throw dust on their heads, and they would become like the dust, which is the lowest you can go, right? Down into the ground, down into the dirt. And that's what they were doing. They were physically and spiritually joining Job in his poverty and his misery. At that point, this is where God opens our eyes and lets us see in a new way the one who took on poverty in order to bless us with riches, the Lord Jesus. Remember Jesus' words in Matthew 5, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." He means there people who recognize sin for what it is in themselves and in other people, and they join it with a broken heart and a humble spirit. And when the Lord sees that, he's very pleased. He loves to see that. He molds the person into the image of his son, and he blesses the people that they're ministering to. Job's friends did that really well at first. They did a great job, an outstanding job. This is obedient suffering, sharing in the suffering of other people. It really cares about the suffering, and it really shares in the suffering. It climbs in with the other person. How much lower can you go than to sit on the ground with your friend? Now, here on Vancouver Island, it's not dust so much this time of year, it's muck and mud. It's climbing into the mud, into the dirt of daily life with your friend who's been slimed by the suffering. You willingly go into that with them. That's obedient suffering. It joins with other people. The other tangible way that we see obedience here in suffering is actually in Job himself. As Job suffered, he did something crucial. He continued to pray to God and to look to God for help. Well, it doesn't sound like he's doing that at first. If you look at chapter 3, verse 1, this is after they've been sitting in silence for 7 days, and finally Job just couldn't stand it anymore. And it says, he opened his mouth and he cursed the day of his birth. When you curse the day of your birth, that doesn't sound like you're being obedient at all. It's extreme. But as Neil said to us last week, Job is a book of extremes. There's extreme blessing in the beginning. Job is like Bill Gates or Jeff Bezos or somebody like that. He's the richest man around, absolutely blessed. Then there's extreme suffering where he loses everything. Then at the end of the book, there's extreme restoration. He gets everything back and then some. We kind of expect this reaction from Job because his suffering is actually off the charts. He wonders here, why didn't I just die at birth? It would have been a lot better. Why was my mother there to nurse me and care for me? I'd be better off sleeping in the ground. He even talks in verse 20, chapter 3, of being tortured by the light of life. I think what he's saying there is that when you're in this much darkness and misery, seeing the light just a little bit reminds you of what you don't have. And it reminds you that there is light, but you don't have it. And it seems like maybe you'll never have it. He wonders, why does God give light to those who are in misery? He ends his first speech with these words in Job 3 at the very end of the chapter. He says, I have no peace, no quietness. I have no rest, but only turmoil. Only turmoil. Well, that sounds pretty bleak, doesn't it? Where's the obedience there? Where's the hope? I think there is something here. There's obedience here. It's in the direction of Job's lament. Where's he pointed when he's saying these words? Notice that he doesn't stop asking God for answers. He keeps on. He doesn't react to the suffering by doing what his wife suggested. Get rid of your faith, curse God, and die. Instead, he directs his words to the one he believes can actually help him, the one who hears him. He's trusting here that God actually can do something about his situation. Even as he says here, and he says this, that God's worn him out, he says God's assailed him, and God's torn him in anger, even as he's doing that, he continues to plead with God for restoration. That's actually obedience in action. That's actually faith in the middle of extreme suffering. How is this possible? It's possible by the grace of God. That's the only answer we have. If it wasn't for the grace of God, Job would have cursed God and given up and died. Listen to St. Paul in his letter to the Philippians, chapter 1, verse 6. And Paul says, he says this with confidence. He believes this. This isn't wishful thinking. He says, he, God, who began a good work in you, will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He began a good work in you. He'll carry it on to completion. In other words, when God starts something in your life, he finishes it. If he started something in your life, he will finish it. If you're not in Christ right now, please stay after the service. I'd love to talk to you about that. But if you're not there yet, then when God does bring you to a living faith in the Lord Jesus, he will keep you in it. When God brings a person to new birth, he does it. He doesn't choose the wrong person. He doesn't all of a sudden change his mind about you. He doesn't lose his grip on your situation. When suffering rears its head, he doesn't say, oh my gosh, I have no power over this. This cancer is too big for me. That's not what he does. He actually joins you in the situation because he's chosen you. He carries you on eagle's wings, as Isaiah says. Carries you all the way to the resurrection of the dead. We see some of this in the first chapter of Job, where Job is called blameless, upright. Yet he complains to God, and he says some wrong things about God. It's important to know that as he complained and cried out, he did it as a believer. He believed, he trusted God. He didn't know who Jesus was at this point, but he did have faith in Jesus, even though Jesus was hidden. We'll see that in just a minute. Job said some wrong things about God, no question about this. That's what we do when we suffer. We often cry out to God and say, how could you do this to me? Where are you? You see this all through the book of Psalms. By the end of the book, Job has come to a different place. He comes to the place where he sees that his understanding is limited, and because of that, he's made some wrong assumptions. Listen to what Job says at the very end in chapter 42. He says to God, surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. He did the right thing. He repented of his foolish words. Isn't that something we all need to do when we face suffering? If you're a disciple of Jesus Christ and you have faith in him, you're like Job. You're blameless and you're upright. I hope you never suffer like Job did, but you're blameless and upright. And you're blameless and upright not because you're a good person, not because you've done great things, not because you've put on a happy face when you've been suffering. You're blameless and upright because of Christ. That's the only reason. You're righteous in God's sight because of Christ, because you've been saved by grace through faith. When suffering touches down, as it will, I hope you'll remember Job. Learn from him and his friends. Go and share in the suffering of other people. Be a wise and careful listener. Be very slow to speak in those situations. Instead, join the person in the mire with deep prayer and a humble station. Join them in the dust and ashes. In your suffering, in your own suffering, keep praying to the God who redeemed you and set you free from the ultimate judgment of sin and death. Rest easy knowing that these words have been revealed for you in your own suffering and in the suffering of those you love. These are helpful words, timeless words. Let me finish with Job's vision of Christ. This appears in Job 16 and 19, and you could look this up later. This is Job's vision of Christ before he knows who Christ is. There's a glimpse here of the Lord and Savior. Listen to this. And this is what he says in his suffering. He says, even now, my witness is in heaven. My advocate is on high. Remember that word advocate from John's Gospel? That's the word Jesus used for the Holy Spirit. My advocate is on high. My intercessor is my friend as my eyes pour out tears to God. On behalf of a man, he pleads with God as one pleads with a friend. I know that my Redeemer lives, and that in the end, he will stand on the earth. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Loving Father, Lord, there are times when we suffer so much, and some of us are suffering right now, or some of our friends and family members are suffering. So, Lord, in this suffering, would you please remind us, help us to be wise, to go and sit with those who suffer, not to worry about finding the right words, but to simply go and join them in their misery, to be quiet for a while, to pray for them, to simply give them a hug and say, I'm so sorry for this. Let me join you. And Lord, in our own suffering, may we never stop praying to you. May we never lose our trust that you hear us and that you do redeem suffering, Lord. As St. Paul says in Romans 8:28, you work in all things, to reveal your goodwill in the lives of those who love you. Lord, we thank you that this is your promise to us. And now help us to go and be a blessing to those who are suffering. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.